Warning, this podcast will rocket you into the knowledge and wisdom intended to inspire, influence, and impact you to lead a Christian Rocketeers organization. Let's honor the sacrifice Christ the Son died to give you by leading the life and nonprofit God has called you to well. God is doing great and amazing things in the heavens and on earth. Let's tap into his wisdom and reach for the stars together.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Christian Rocketeers podcast, where we impart, inspire, influence, and impact your Christian nonprofit to rocket you to the next level. I'm your host, Shawnee Pinkasek, and today I am excited to have a guest co-host who has written a brand new book called Flamingo Marketing, How to Leverage Unique and Change the World. Stay tuned for an incredible interview with our friend, Katie Horner.
I left my legal career to pursue a higher calling. What changes are you willing to make? My name is Carrie Reichartz, and I'm a Rising Star Lawyer by the Milwaukee Magazine, and I left my rising legal career to make a difference in the world of girls in Kenya.
The women I met forever changed my life. I returned to my job, and I realized it no longer served me. I knew he had something bigger in store for me. I was called to serve others, so I left my law to begin my own business. I founded two nonprofits, Operation Give Hope and Infinitely More Life. I also began teaching women who are overwhelmed when trying to start and grow their nonprofit to ministry to thrive.
My first nonprofit, Operation Give Hope, tackles systematic spiritual, emotional, and financial poverty afflicting young mothers in Mombasa, Kenya, and helps sex trafficking victims heal. My second nonprofit, Infinitely More Life, operates globally and helps people recognize and reconcile life traumas by working with Christ. I have assisted hundreds in starting their own domestic and international nonprofits. Are you ready to leave behind the fear and doubt holding you back from starting the nonprofit God has called you to? Join the 8-week Christian Rocketeer Nonprofit Startup Certification. Remember, you are not leaving a career or a comfortable life. You are gaining purpose, passion, mission, and you will be changing the world. Join us today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Christian Rocketeers podcast. I am so excited today, as I told you in the opening, that I have my friend Katie Horner here. And Katie has written a brand new book, and I am so excited for her to tell you all about it. So Katie, why don't you tell us about how God led you to this incredible book that's helping people to be authentic in who they are?
I'm excited to be here today. Thank you so much. We went on a family trip a couple of years ago to see flamingos in the wild. And the more that I thought about that experience, the more the Lord just kept bringing to me analogies about how Christians in business are so much like a flamingo. And the more I learned about them, the more the lessons kept coming. And so naturally, that became a book. First, we published The Faith Like Flamingos, the Christian Business Guide to Walking Out Your Faith in Bold Color. That's a little bit more inspirational and devotional. And then this year, well, in 2022, we were able to publish The Flamingo Advantage book, which is all about how to leverage your uniqueness in the marketplace, be able to stay relevant to the people that you're trying to serve so that you can change the world as God has put you here to do.
Yeah. And the thing about that I love is when I think of a flamingo, like you have said, I think of those things that, you know, Floridians put in their lawn to say they're from Florida, because that's where I live now. And it's like, oh yeah, I see a flamingo everywhere I go. And I'm like, you know, the flamingo stands out. They're bold in color. They're not pink because they're pink because of what they eat. And that's what makes them pink, which that was what stood out to me on as we did the jungle cruise and that. So yeah, so good. So let's take a step back. So you actually were a missionary and God took you to Mexico. So how did you get to that point, from that point to where you are now?
It's a long story, but the short of it is that my husband and I, we got married. We did a couple years of deputation, raising our own donation funding to go to Mexico and serve as missionaries in a Bible college. A couple years into that, God transitioned us to the other side of Mexico to work at a children's home ministry. And, you know, as ministries often are, because there's humans involved, things got a little messy in the transition, we were brought in not necessarily with a full understanding of what we were walking into. And so, about 9 months into the children's home ministry, the missionary leader came to us and said, you know, I'd really hoped that my national staff was going to fall in love with you and we could just live happily ever after. And that's not happening. So you have to go. And so we just, you know, like we've just left two ministries now in less than a year. We were in Mexico with a very young family. We had four children under the age of five. We had no savings to speak of. We had no credit cards. We didn't have a work visa here. And now all of our ministry opportunities and funding to speak of was drying up. And we were just like, Lord, what are we supposed to be seeing here? We know that it is you that directs our steps, not man. But man has lost faith in us and, you know, the funding is drying up and what do you want us to do? And he really impressed upon us, my husband and I, when I say we or us, my husband and I work together in the business and the ministry. He really impressed upon us that it was time to start a business. And we're like, What do you mean start a business? Like, you know, my husband like went to school.
Yeah.
He went to trade school. He skipped the third year, which was all about business because he knew he was going to be in ministry. And I grew up in an entrepreneurial family, but I had never studied formally any kind of business stuff because I knew I was going to be overseas in ministry. And it just kept coming back to, this is the way to minister. Mm-hmm. I want you to start a business so that you can still do the ministry that I direct you to do. And ultimately that became sort of our family mission statement, was to be able to have enough through our business to live and give as God directs. Right. And as a donation supported ministry, you know, there was a board to please, there were churches to answer to. There was always someone who didn't have a full picture of what was going on the ground, right, who had a very important opinion about what should and shouldn't happen. And we always felt like it was hard to be really free to follow the Lord that way. And when we were able to transition into our business, fully funding any ministry that we wanted to do, mm-hmm, now we got to really step into what we felt God calling us to do. And I can tell you, the Lord has transformed the marketplace into a mission field that's greater than anything we ever dreamed we would have as full-time donation-supported ministers. And it's just been I won't say it's been easy in the way we think of easy, but it's been an incredible journey. And we are so grateful for where the Lord has us today.
And he's grown you in so many ways. You're on this is your 9th bestseller, right?
10th. This is our 10th bestseller. Okay. Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord for that. We've published over 50 titles in the last 10 years, and 10 of them have hit the bestseller list, including both of those Flamingo books.
That's incredible. And all in that, God taught you through showing up authentically, to show up for who he called you to be. You know, you thought it was one way and then you shifted to another. So yeah. How can nonprofit leaders, you know, I look at when people come to us, they want that cookie cutter nonprofit. How can they show up in a way that's relevant and authentic to them?
Yeah, I think that's a big question, not just for nonprofits, but for anybody listening. How do I show up and be authentic? Because I've been taught certain things in, mm-hmm, my history, right? We all have, about how things should be or should look. The world has certain expectations of what should and shouldn't be done. So how do I come to terms with me being me and showing up authentically to do what I know I'm called to do amidst all of these outside expectations? And I think it comes back to, at least for believers, number one, knowing who your God is.
Yeah.
In everything that we teach with our programs and with our clients and in our ministry, it comes back to, who is God? what do I know to be true about him? Because that's where all this started, right? He's the one that put the desires in me before I was born to do this work. He's the one that puts these goals and desires in my heart so that he can bring them to pass. He's the one who's got a plan, not just for me, but for the people that my nonprofit or my business or my ministry can reach. And so I've got to know him. I've got to know what he wants from me. And then I've got to be willing to carry this out, not just because I want success, but because I want him to be glorified through what I know I can do in the world. And when you come back to what am I good at? What lights me up? And what do I know that God wants me to do? And then you marry that with, how do we turn this into a way to bring income to provide for what this is calling us to do? That's where the sweet spot is in finding your uniqueness, you know, and a flamingo is not worried that they don't look like a crocodile, right? They're not worried that they don't look like the eagle. Like they're just out there being pink, being them.
And they're bold. Like, you know, when you see them standing there, they're just standing there strong and bold. And yeah. I think that's what we're called more to do is, you know, nonprofit leaders is to stand more and not try to be everybody else that's out there.
Right. And the boldness comes in part by a more of an awareness about what I'm supposed to be doing than about what I look like or who I am as I do it. Right. The flamingo doesn't know any different. They don't realize that they're pink and they stand out so much. And so it doesn't bother them. They're not self-conscious because this is just who I am. Right. And you made a point earlier on about how their pinkness comes from what they eat. My friend, you as a ministry or nonprofit or a business leader, what the diet that you feed yourself emotionally and spiritually, like that's going to come out on the outside. The flamingo can't hide that any more than you can hide it. And the diet that you feed yourself on a regular basis colors all of who you are and what you do. And that's going to be apparent. And so if you want to be more authentically a certain way, one of the ways to do that is to feed yourself the diet of whatever way you want to be. You want to be more like God, then feed yourself more of scripture. You know, you want to be more serving, then fill yourself with the stories of those who serve and with the activities and of serving. Surround yourself with a community who has a heart to serve, right? Yeah. Because what is inside ultimately will show on the outside, just like the flamingo.
Yeah. And that's why our ministry, we teach identity in Christ is key because they can be more authentic. You can be more authentic as a leader when you know more of who he is and how to walk that out. And it's so important. I love that, that the diet is key. Now, one thing that we teach as running a nonprofit is we teach that it should be a profitable nonprofit. And I know that you believe the same way.
Yes.
But it's not the cultural norm. Like, you know, even as I was talking to my kids the other night, they were saying, well, mom, a nonprofit shouldn't make a profit because it's not a nonprofit if it makes a profit, you know, if someone takes a salary or something like that. But, you know, that's what we believe is in how Carrie and I teach. And I know you teach that as well. So what do you think the importance of knowing that? How can we break through that mindset of, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a nonprofit, I can't take a salary. God doesn't want me to have resources to do the work.
Yeah. Well, I think society has done us a real disservice in calling it a nonprofit to begin with. I think that a nonprofit is for all intents and purposes and a business. Mm-hmm. They just do different things with the profits that come in, right? And any business, any ministry for that matter, has to have funding in order to survive. And so when you look at the nonprofit term really applies more to how the monies are taxed rather than how the monies are used. And the more money you make, the more good you can do in the world, you know? And if you're sitting there saying, God doesn't want me to make money, like that's just a lie. Number one, you need to go back to scripture and find out what God says, because I don't read that in my Bible. Money is just a tool in the hand of our God. Money is not a value statement. Money is not an end all be all. Money is a tool. It is a neutral tool. It can be used for good or evil. It's all up to you to decide how you're going to use it. And I can't see that any nonprofit or ministry is going to be able to glorify God in the long term if you're not making enough money to survive, yeah. right? The scripture that talks about, if you're not caring for your own family, you're worse than an infidel, right? And that's speaking more to like legacy and inheritance kinds of things. But the idea, the principle is there that you've got to care for your home first. Even in the Great Commission, it was to go into your Jerusalem first. What is close by? What is at hand? You care for that area first. And then you go into Judea and into Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world, right? And so the scriptural principle of providing for what you have in order to grow it is there. It is all throughout scripture. And I would challenge anyone who thinks that it's not biblical for me to make money or to make a profit to go back and read your scripture and ask yourself, is this really what God says? Because I don't think it is. I believe there are principles left, right, and center all over the place in scripture that God wants us to provide. He wants us to grow what we have been given. The parable of the talents was about this. It's don't hold it in a scarcity mindset and be so scared you're going to lose it that you're not willing to use it. I've given it to you to use, to be able to grow it with. And if you give it all away, there's nothing left to grow it with. Right? I mean, that's just logical thinking, speaking there, nothing biblical about that. If you give it away, there's nothing left to grow it with. You have to take care of the people that are managing it. You have to take care of the resources that you have. And that could be time resources, money resources, people, relationships. You have to take care of those things in order for you to continue to grow it. And what we teach our people and our clients in our programs is that you need to set up boundaries, set up, guidelines and principles, and like make you have a heart to give. That's wonderful. We give every month to a charity. We have for several years now, right? But we don't do it out of what we lack. We do it out of the abundance. We take care of the needs first, and out of the net profit, then we give a certain percentage to a cause that we love and care about, right? We also have policies around scholarships. We don't just give scholarships to anyone who asks. We have a set number that we give, and we don't give them until we've reached a set number of sales, right? And so like you can't give a tenth out of something that hasn't come in. And so once we get to a certain number, then we know how much of that, and a percentage wise, we're able to turn around and give back. We also never give full scholarships because we believe people have to have skin in the game. You know, so there's a whole bunch of, I mean, I could talk about this for forever, but the number one thing is always question. Is this what God says? Don't believe what they're telling you in society. Don't believe what somebody else says, however great a mentor they are. You go back to scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what is the truth about my resources, about the God who says he will provide all I need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And you make your decisions based on what scripture says, not on what another human or a certain society standard is.
Yeah. And I think that's another key of making sure your systems are in place so that you'll know what to do when the resources come in, because if you don't know what you're going to do with those resources, you're not going to know what to do when God blesses you with the finances. You know, when the money comes for the land, if you don't know how you're going to use the land, then there's not a plan. And there has to be a plan in place of what you're going to do with where God's leading.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I think that's another key of, you know, Jesus surrounded himself with business people. And I never really thought of this until I had another guest that I talked to yesterday. And he was like, Jesus had business people around him. Like he had influential business leaders. So we're meant to do business and life together because absolutely. He did.
Yes. Yes. And that's a big myth that I see a lot of Christians in the world believing is that business and ministry have to be different. Yeah. It absolutely does not. There is no scriptural example or scriptural standard for separating business from ministry. Paul went out and made tents in the marketplace. Why did he do that? To provide for himself? Yes, that was the obvious thing, but he could have provided for himself by making a tent secluded in his home. He didn't do that. He went into the marketplace so that as he's working, he can create relationships and have conversations with people. people who need Jesus. And what we have found is we have transitioned from quote unquote full-time ministry into full-time business is that the marketplace is a bigger mission field than we ever had as with a ministry title, with a ministry label. And we can go into all the world and preach the gospel through a business, through a nonprofit, through an organization in a much different and bigger way than we ever could have with a pastor or missionary title, you know, and a title is just a title and it, but it does open and close certain doors.
Yeah.
And, you know, those of you thinking I'm lesser than, or I'm no good. No, exactly what God has called you to do in the world is your best worship. And if that is doing business, if that is running a nonprofit, if that is interacting with people at high corporate levels, like whatever that is, if that's what he's created you and called you to do, that's the best way to worship him. Don't feel like you're less than because you're not a pastor. I'm over here in the secular, you know, in the secular world all the time. The secular world is often a bigger mission field than a pastor will ever have.
Yeah. And I think about when you're on the airplane and you sit next to someone and they ask you, what do you do? And the my pastor would say, well, I'm a minister. And automatically the person would clam up because, you know, they didn't want to talk to the minister because, you know, they're holy and, you know, don't talk. But if they knew that person was just a person, they'd be sitting there having a conversation. So like it opens up more doors for you to be able to minister because it doesn't limit you as much.
Absolutely. You know, somebody says, well, what do you do? Well, we were expats in Mexico for nearly 16 years and we run our own business so that we can work from anywhere and we homeschool. How did you do that? How did you decide to? Well, we were in ministry and we have a heart for serving God and overseas. And that's, just, you know, it just opens so many conversations. And I actually started a conversation just like that once at a business conference with a young man who was doing very well for himself in the secular business world. And he started into, oh, well, I'm a Christian too. I my mom took me to church every Sunday. And I was like, well, you know, I go to the bank once a week, but I'm not a banker. You know, how are you sure that makes you a Christian? You know, and we just got to have a real open and honest conversation about his soul that was completely unexpected. You know, and I don't know, he didn't accept Christ in that conversation. But I do know that the Lord planted some seeds there that really made him think about his life and about his eternity through that conversation. And you don't usually expect that to happen at a secular business event.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we will be back again with more from Katie.
Why become a sponsor at Mercy's Life Family? Sponsors at Mercy's Life Family are ending sex trafficking. They are healing girls physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially to put them back on their feet in just 3 short years. For themselves and their babies to be self-sustaining. That's what you get at Mercy's Life Family Sponsorship. In addition to that, you get a prayer card with the story of your girl or your baby so you can pray over them. You get behind the scenes access to be able to see day-to-day life in Kenya and what life is like for the girls at the house and how they're developing. You get that and so much more. Join us in sponsorship today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Christian Rocketeers podcast. I'm Shawnee Pankasek, and I am here with my friend Katie Horner. And Katie and I on the break, we're talking a little bit about the struggle that you feel as a nonprofit leader. And I know that in talking to nonprofit leaders, they've talked to me, Katie, about how they struggle with the mission is too great. They're scared. They're scared to go out and ask for money because they're asking for money. So how in your own life have you seen God work through those feelings?
Yeah, it is something that I think a lot of us face, both the fear of man, the fear of failure, the fear of this is so big, where do I start, right? And again, I'm going to bring people back to, you know, what do you know about your God? Who is the God that's called you to this? Is he, do you really believe that he is the provider? Do you believe that this is bigger than you, right? Part of the reason we feel overwhelmed and that we can't do it is because that's the truth. We can't do it without God and without the help of others, right? That's why he created every social sphere that he created as a community. We're supposed to work together. And remember that this is not about you as much as it is about what God wants to do through you with this big vision that he's given you. And the reason that it is so big is that it's not about you. And that gives you the freedom then to say, you know, I'm not asking money for me. I'm asking money so that God can do this thing in the world. Look at what he's doing over here, right? And so when we look inward, it clogs things up. We're just part of that funnel. We're part of that siphon or that channel for which God can, through which God can do his work in the world. And when we focus inward, we get all clogged up inside, right? And we start thinking about us and what are they going to think of me and how am I going to be received and what are they going to say and are they going to criticize, instead of thinking about God, or instead of thinking about the end result of what he wants to do in the world through what he's put in our hands. We ultimately are stewards of this work, yeah, in order to get these results that he wants to get in the world, to impact these people in this specific way. And so when you're out there asking people to contribute to your nonprofit or to your cause, you're not asking them for you. You're asking them to take part in a bigger picture of what God wants to do through what he's given you to steward to get these results in the world. And so I think number one is just realize that contrary to what the world will tell you, you're not enough, right? And that is okay. That is exactly where you need to be in order for you to focus upward and outward and be able to have that confidence that says, this is not about me. I am going to boldly go and do the thing God has called me to do, boldly go and ask, because I believe this is how God promises to provide for what he's called me to do, right? And again, money is just money, right? And God owns it all. He is not broke. And so, Lord, show me who you want me to talk to, yeah, today, because I know you're already preparing their hearts to be compassionate towards this vision and this mission. Lord, show me what you want me to do today, what group you want me to participate with, because you've got people waiting there who will participate in what you're doing over here, right? And it's just seeking the Lord on a daily basis and asking him to help you get out of the way and stay focused on what he's doing, because that's where the confidence comes in to show up and say, you know. And the other thing is, it's not all about the asking. Sometimes it's the confidence that shows up and says, this is what I'm doing because I was created to do this. And I know my God will provide. And if that's through you, great. And if it's not through you, great. Who do you know? Right. Mm-hmm. And just being under that confidence and that trust that God's gonna provide. People are not the provider. My God is the provider, right? And so if my job is to show up and give you an opportunity to participate so that you can be blessed, then that's my job. I'm not responsible for the results. And I know, you know, with a lot of your people in nonprofit and ministry, you might understand this illustration. When we were doing church planting work for several years, we did about 5-year stint of church planting in a specific neighborhood. And during that time, we knocked on every single door in that neighborhood. We had services 3 times a week. We had children's clubs on the weekends. We had, you know, summer Bible schools. We had Christmas activities, and the congregation never grew. We had a salvation here and there. We never had a consistent congregation. And it got to the point where even our children would get up on Sunday morning and say, why are we going to church again? Nobody's coming anyway. Mm-hmm. Right. And that is so disheartening to someone who knows that God has called you to do this, maybe not forever, but for this time, to know that I'm not seeing results and I'm not seeing results. And a lot of us get stuck in that. And then we start looking inward. But what my husband and I had to realize was God didn't call us to get results. He called us to do the work. He's the only one that can change the hearts. He's the only one that can make them give. In our business, even now, I can't control which client says yes to me and sends me money. Right? All I can control is the amount of offers that I make. All I can control is where I show up and tell people about the opportunity. Right? And so in your nonprofit, in your ministry, your job is not to get the results. Your job is not to make the money come in. God is the God of provision. Your job is to be faithful, to talk about the opportunity, to tell the world what God is doing through this, to get this in front of the people who need to know about it so that they can be blessed by participating and make a difference in the world, right? You're the conduit for this. Mm-hmm. And that knowledge, stepping into that knowledge, is real really, really, really confidence building in knowing that the results are up to him. My job is to be faithful with what he's given me in the moment. And that could change, you know, at some point it came, well, actually when the pandemic started, that was God saying, all right, we're closing the doors on the church plant. You can't meet in person anywhere in the world right now. And so this is the time that this is done. And you're no longer have to do that work. I've got a different work for you. Right. But until that time, we had to be faithful to do what we knew he called us to do, whether or not we were seeing the results in the moment.
Yeah, I think about that with, you know, putting posts out there and people not donating, but they're still out there, you know, you never know who can get it. I mean, think about with Mercy's Light Family, where it was stagnant, you know, for a period of time. And then all of a sudden we opened the doors and in 4.5 years, things have grown exponentially. I mean, we have 12 girls at the center. We've helped, I think it's like 52, 58, somewhere around there, that have come through our doors. And the lives that Mercy's Light touches every day is greater than we know. Yeah. And I think that's the key. And it's all because we're willing to ask, you know, it's an invitation into the work that God is doing in that area, not you yourself.
Yeah. I think it's also important to ask the right questions when you're struggling to grow something. A lot of times, especially speaking for myself, I'm a type one, I'm a go-getter. I want to get in there and fix it and get it all done quickly, you know, fast action taker.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of leaders, I think, tend to have more of that kind of personality. And so the question that I start with tends to be, what do I do? What do I do? Right. Instead of who do I need? Or who could do that? Or who do I need to know? And when I started moving into the who questions is when our business really took off. What rooms do I need to be in so that God can make the connections he needs to make this year? What activities do I need to participate in? With whom? What relationships do I need to build? Who are the people I need to know so that they can tell other people perhaps, or so that they themselves can participate, right? And so moving from that, again, from that me focus, into the outward focus of it's not what do I do, but who do I need to know to be able to grow this thing. That's key too. And a lot of times that means an investment, right? We have had to invest in coaching for our business to be able to grow it. We have had to invest in communities so that we can get to know the right people with the right connections to be able to reach the people we knew God wanted involved, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are big questions and things that we have to be willing. And again, I can't invest. We're not making any money yet. It's all God's money, right? Yeah, and if God wants you there, he's going to provide what you need to be in the right room or in the right opportunity, whatever that looks like. You just have to be, you know, it's not 90% mine and 10% his. It's all his. Lord, what do you want me to do with the resources you've given? And if that means spending what I've got at the moment to be able to be in the right room so you can grow this, I would much rather do that than give myself a little extra and stay over here secluded for the next year and unable to grow.
Yeah. And I'll say he'll bless your obedience, you know, with that investment, he'll bless that investment. Cause I mean, we hear that a lot with what Carrie and I do with the coaching. They're like, well, we want a nonprofit, but we can't invest in you because, you know, you guys are so, the price is too high. There's lots of excuses we hear, but through the people who join us and work with us, the blessings that God pours out, not because of who Carrie and I are, but because of who he is and the work that he does through us, it's amazing. I mean, I love our clients. I love what we get to do. I tell my kids work is fun. They're like, Mom, you're working. I'm like, yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, and they're even getting involved. Like I've seen growth in my daughter. She's been doing social media for one of our clients. And she's someone that has been limited because she has a disability. Teachers have told her that she'll only be this and that's all she'll be. And I've seen her, Katie, grow so much in just stepping out and doing these little things for other people. She'll go to school and she'll tell people about the children in the Dominican Republic that she's helping with. She's like, I got him on my phone. You've got to see this child. You've got to see his name. Want to sponsor him? I'm like, Carly, but God's like, be more like Carly, be bold in what you're doing. And I think that needs to be more of the message in the season.
Yes, I totally agree.
Well, I love what you're doing. Where can people connect with you more?
You can connect with us at our website, theflamingoadvantage.com. You can get a free copy of our book there. We've got a free plus shipping offer. Connect with us on social. All of it's listed over there at theflamingoadvantage.com.
And you have a brand new podcast you're launching soon.
Yes, we do. The Flamingo Advantage podcast as well. So hopefully all of your listeners will head over there and subscribe and listen to that as well.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for your time today, everybody. I hope you will take a look at what Katie has to offer. Her book is incredible. Carrie and I both love it and highly recommend it. So we hope that this has blessed you today, and share in the comments below what God has laid on your heart to do, and that you'll be ready to be bold and step out in what God is calling you in your nonprofit. Take care.
Thank you so much.